When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
They don't call it the curse for nothing. This week on the podcast, Ginger Snaps.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Katai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And we are here with a very beloved and special guest. Because we're covering a film, you probably know what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. We have comedian and podcast host of Podcast Kill the Video Star and Inside the Disney Vault, Oscar Montoya is here.
Hello. Okay. Woo-hoo. This is exciting. I'm very excited to talk about this movie because this has been on my Teen Creeps must watch list.
Yes.
So I'm very excited to talk about it. Hey, Kelly. Hey, Lindsay.
Hi. Oh, my God. Okay, so we are talking the 2000 Canadian supernatural horror film, Ginger Snaps, written by Karen Walton and John Fawcett and directed by John Fawcett.
I was just going to say, I did not realize how thoroughly Canadian it was, like fully Canadian, just filmed in Canada, not just Canadian actors. This is a Canadian production.
It's a Canadian production.
Moment I truly realized that was when the poster for Trina being missing also said below missing, disparu.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, it is Canadian.
Like, this ain't America.
No.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
Exactly.
This movie fucking rips, dude. It is so fucking good. I love this movie.
It's very special. This has been one of my favorites for a very long time. I'm just very excited to discuss it with y'all because, you know, I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask what your guys' history with it. I think, Kelly, you just watched it recently.
Yes, I watched it. Yeah, right? A couple months ago for the first time.
Mm.
Yeah.
I watched this when it came. What year did this come out?
2000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched it maybe like mid-2000s. I like heard about it and watched it because I love werewolf movies.
Yeah.
They're kind of, the good ones are really hard to find, I feel like.
Yes.
There's not a lot of like great ones. We know American Werewolf in London. We know The Howling, obviously. I would even put like Monster Squad in there because werewolf design is really cool. But when I heard about this, I was like, oh, this is probably one of the really, really good werewolf movies. And I think it is the best one out there.
It's so fucking good. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, did you like this movie?
I did. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
This feels very Teen Creepsy.
So teen creepsy. I mean, for one thing, God. Teens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to be such an emotional movie.
Mm. Oh my God.
I was so, and obviously, spoilers, everybody, and they begin now. Yeah. I was so sad.
Yeah.
The ending made me so sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just finished it too, so I went straight from finishing it to talking to you guys.
Well, and that's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/teencreeps.
And that's our assessment.
The end is so, so sad. And also, I mean, there's like little moments up to that too. Like the mom is like one of my favorite characters in this.
Absolutely.
And played by Mimi Rogers.
So fantastic. Good. She's so fucking good. Her like facial acting is so good. It's so comedic, but like feels very real.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But the end when she's like, you know what? It's fine. Like when she finds out about everything and mm-hmm. she's like, it's fine. We'll just start over and it'll be just you, me, and Ginger. She's saying
the
this
girls.
To Bridget.
Yeah, just the girls.
And she's like, well, what about dad? And she's like, well, he won't understand. Like, he'll blame me. And like, they all will, which is very true. And I felt like this movie is so hyper feminist, and like even though the you know, it's a very obvious metaphor, I still felt like everything rang really true, and it felt so good. I mean, just so many different parts, like when Bridget is just like still like dorky and like very young looking, and she's watching her sister who's all like, mm-hmm. you know, like has
starting
left her behind,
to, quote unquote, oh. blossom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
yes. Yeah. And this was a funny movie. It's very funny.
Yes.
Very funny.
I wrote down all these lines, but the thing about writing down these lines is like on paper, they don't seem funny, but in the movie, they're so funny.
Absolutely.
And the acting is really good. Like they deliver the lines like with such intensity that like you believe that these characters would like it has stylized dialogue, but it felt real to me.
Mm-hmm. 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 I totally agree. Yeah. You know, there's something really fun. The reason why I love this movie, number one, the practical effects. You know, I'm a big fan of those practical effect movies.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And number two, I was never a girl going through puberty, so like that aspect of this movie is sort of like I totally understand it, but it's not something I can relate to. However, I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And yes. I was very much these girls as teenagers.
Yes. I hung out with these girls. Skulking around. Oh my God.
My goodness. I dated these girls. Back yeah. then. I was dating girls. These girls were two of my ex-girlfriends. I did Argentina and Susan straight up were these girls.
Yeah.
And they dated a little gay boy who didn't know he was gay. And being in part of that, like, social outcast, or at least we put ourselves as social outcasts, right? Mm-hmm, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The way that we saw everybody else felt like cartoon characters. And what this movie does incredibly well is that they start off giving us, like, the most basic tropes of the characters where, you know, you have the mean girl, sort of like the sportsy mean girl. And she feels very two-dimensional. Then, you know, the drug dealer feels two-dimensional. The fuckboy feels two-dimensional. Yes. The mom feels really two-dimensional. Uh-huh. And then throughout the movie, they sort of add layers to them that feel realized.
It keeps getting deeper and deeper.
Absolutely. Like, to me, the most emotional scene was when, oh my God, I forgot. What was the main girl's name?
Bridget. Or Ginger.
No. The mean girl.
I thought you said mean. Trina.
Trina.
When Trina has that moment of like, you can't take him from me, that moment, I was like, that feels so real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it makes sense to everything about this character.
And she calls him a cherry chaser.
Yes.
Yes.
Ugh, and when she's like, just don't give him the satisfaction of this. Like the fact that she's like appealing to her. Ugh. And then honestly, her death was like pretty brutal for it not being like, you know, it wasn't
a werewolf kill.
Yeah.
It wasn't a werewolf. No, purely accidental. Yeah.
But I laughed so hard at their solution to like hiding the body, which is just to pretend that they're taking, because the way this movie opens, which is to pretend that they're taking like death photos, which the way the movie opens is basically. And the set design of this movie, I mean, I know it was low budget, but it still looked so good, which is like their bedroom is in the basement and they both have these like twin beds, but their comforters are like purple and like very childlike. Mm-hmm. And then they're talking about how they're going to, what is it? Like, it's like dead in the scene or
dead by 16.
Dead in the scene, but together for fucking ever.
Yes. Yeah. Like that shit. But then to have the one who's pushing and pushing and pushing about this, right? Which is Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that moment, like I loved the details of like how Bridget from the very beginning is kind of, she doesn't know who she is. She's just kind of like.
Yeah, she's definitely the beta of like that relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's like, she's pushing back on the suicide pact that they made when they were 8.
Yeah.
But. She really is just following Ginger's identity.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I loved just kind of the reveal of kind of the dark side of that relationship at the end when Bridget finally loses it and she's like, everything that I've had, you take.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like everything in my life that's not about you.
Yeah, I loved that.
You know, they're sisters, right?
Yeah.
And you sometimes forget it because they don't look alike at all.
No.
And they do have like a sort of, what's the relationship? It feels very authentic in the way that,
yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that teenagers are friends with each other, but also mean to each other, yeah. Especially with like Ginger and Bridget. Like Ginger is sort of mean to Bridget in a way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she has higher status, you know, she pushes her around, and but they're friends with each other. I feel like during the early aughts, or at least growing up in high school, like I did see a lot of those sort of relationships where you're like, oh, these are friends, but like, are they friends? Because it looks like they can't stand each other sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibe I got from Ginger and Bridget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That where there's kind sisters.
Of, I feel like Ginger kind of had this thing with Bridget of like, only I am allowed to make you feel bad.
Yes.
Towards Bridget.
Yes, yeah. In a weird way, territorial, you know?
Yes. Yes, which is kind of a wolfy thing.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, like, I also loved their... I loved that the opening credits... So the opening credits are, like, just a bunch of different scenes of them...
Staging
deaths. Ginger's death.
Absolutely.
And photographing it. And then it turns out that that's, like, a slideshow that they're doing... And I what I love too, because I watched this multiple times within this past month. I love too the connection between sex and violence, and in particular when the teacher he's like staring at it and he's like, well, they worked really hard on it, and then he's like, and I just feel, and then he catches himself and he goes, disgusted.
Uh-huh.
Which I was like, oh,
interesting.
He is like because he definitely cuts himself off and pauses, and he's like, disgusted. That was disgusting. And he just like doubles down on how disgusting it was. And I just like that kind of, you know, the connection between, yeah.
What
sex
did
and
he
violence.
Want? What do you think he wanted to say?
Like, I think he was turned on.
Yeah.
Titillated absolutely. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And I think it makes a very, like, I think it does a really good job of this idea of like men aren't to be trusted.
Yeah.
And the teacher, all of the adults feel a little predatory.
Yes.
Whether that's true or not, it's implied that they are. For example, the janitor, how Ginger's constantly being like, I don't like the way he looks at you.
Yes.
To Bridget, you know?
Yeah.
It does feel like to them, all men are dangerous. They need to stick together in order to survive and protect
yes.
each other.
And it's kind of like an exploration of, you know, someone that wants to exercise power over this other person, right?
Yeah.
She's weaponizing this attention, whether real or not, that Bridget is getting from these men because she wants to, like, control the narrative.
Yeah, I think see. Controlling the narrative is, like, a huge aspect of Bridget because, like, personally, like, some of the guys are skeezy.
Yeah.
But the drug dealer guy, even though Trina does say that he's, like, a cherry chaser, he's never weird towards Bridget.
No.
No.
And I never felt anything weird from the janitor. It was just like
no.
Ginger absolutely. Being very much like trying to sell that narrative to Bridget.
Yes.
And she only is against it if she doesn't want it.
Exactly.
So she's
exactly.
she's like, right. no, it's fucking right. evil. We're never going to do that until she feels like it. And then she's like all over Jason.
Yes. Right. And it's kind of
fascinating.
And
yeah.
I loved how accurate that was, right? Like before you have, you know, whatever your hormones where you're like, oh my God, you are kind of like, you know, you're like, oh, I won't be affected by that. Like, I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then once those are coursing through your veins, it is like, you're just like, well, that was a different person.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
And it coincides, her being bitten coincides with her getting her period for the first time
absolutely.
At 16, very late.
Yes, right. very
or
late.
Pretty late. And she's just like, as soon as she's into the attention, and it is like a very like symbolic idea of the of her being into it, because it's like she's into it because she's like a fucking werewolf and she's like bloodthirsty, right. not just, but it's like very much a metaphor for like becoming a woman.
Yeah, and desire.
And sexual and desire.
Yeah.
And so it's like once she's into it, then she's like being really mean to Bridget about it. Like, oh, you're just jealous. You just wish guys were paying attention to you the way they pay attention to me. And it's like, I thought we had a pact that we didn't care about guys. And right. so Bridget like really bought into that. Whereas Ginger is just been like kind of, Ginger is actually the lost one. She's been trying to find this identity. She says later in the movie that she like, it's clear she felt like a nobody in this small town. And that was a big part of her like reaching for this very goth sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and when they finally do, like when they come across the dead dog, which there have been dead dogs showing up, which have been
this damn town.
The fucking dead dog.
Yeah, lots of dead dogs. At least
it was like super fake, so I was able to divorce myself from it.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. And we don't see it actually die. We see like the remains. Right. But like when they encounter it for the first time, I loved that we get kind of this close up on Ginger where she's kind of like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like all of this shit that she's been talking about, you know, like, oh, we're going to, you know, out by 16, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then she's actually forced to reckon with death and she's visibly shaken. And I liked that. Mm. Like, I liked that she, I don't know. I really liked that she was kind of like, oh, now that it's here, I'm a little bit scared, but I'm going to double down, like pick it up. Let's move it. Do all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that dead by 16 means? Is it, because to me, I was like, because it addresses this idea of like the fear of growing up, the fear of, you know, transforming, like the act of turning into a werewolf is a metaphor to turning into an adult, a woman specifically speaking. And there's a fear of that by 16. 16 is a weird age because, like, again, like Lindsay said, it's a pretty late to get your period and going through puberty. But I think as a child, like 16 is such a benchmark of like a teenager. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, that age felt very old. Like, you're an adult. Yeah.
And I think maybe the 16 aspect, because to me, I was like, why 16? I mean, besides the rhyming of it, obviously. But why 16?
To an 8-year-old, like you're grown up.
Yeah, 16 felt.
And it seems like they think everybody just turns into like this cliche in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that for them is maybe the point.
The reason
where
why,
they're like, no, we're just going to start turning into everybody else.
And I remember being a kid and thinking about the age 16. And maybe it's because like that's when you get your driver's license and like. And sweet 16, you know, like there's so much around that age where I remembered.
Prom?
Yes. Yes. Right. And I remembered thinking, oh, when I turn 16, I'll be a different person. Like you expect some
to wake
change
up
to
a
happen.
Grown woman.
Yeah.
Right.
I definitely expected that I was like suddenly going to have like the body of a woman and like feel confident and not feel like a tiny little girl. And I did not.
Yeah. And then you're kind of like, oh, shit, I just feel like me.
Right.
Yeah. And it's
all these like terrible thoughts.
Absolutely. And I think also the cool thing about this movie is that it mirrors the werewolf, Ginger's werewolf transformation mirrors puberty, you know? Because, like you said, the expectation is like one day you wake up and you're full on like a woman, you know? That's not the case. You grow into, you know, it's a slow transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And with Ginger, it was a slow transformation to a wolf because the expectation, like anyone who's been raised on werewolf movies knows that it happens during a full moon and the transformation is maybe seconds long, you know?
Yeah.
But that didn't happen in this movie. The transformation was really slow. We saw her have wolf traits. You know, you see her growing the tail slowly. And then by the end of the movie, she is fully a beast.
Yeah.
You know, unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. So it does mirror that idea of like, oh, yeah. Change doesn't happen right away. It's a slow process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also loved, like, I don't know about you guys, but like kind of having Ginger go through this change and Bridget kind of still just kind of being stuck in Amber and watching her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but I remember like, you know, having, you know, my group of like two friends and then like, you know, one of them would start, you know, she'd start blooming and then all of a sudden get this attention from guys and like have much more confidence and kind of leave the friend group. And that feeling of being left behind was just so accurately captured in this movie of kind of like, oh, I just like seeing those shots of her, of Bridget on the field hockey field, like looking all schlumpy while her sister is like flirting around with all these guys.
And it's like that, goth queen now.
I know.
But like sexy goth queen.
Sexy goth queen.
I gotta say, that transformation was pretty dang epic. She looked
hot. Yeah, she looked really hot. And it was
like believable too, because it wasn't like so different from how she already was. It was just like, oh, I'm gonna start like being more comfortable with my body now and not hide it.
Yeah.
Because even in the beginning, those fuck boys, that one was like, oh yeah, I wanna fuck the one of those Fitzgerald
sisters. Those 30-year-old men?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Playing high schoolers? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the other one's like, who? Like Bridget? And he's like, no, the one with the rack. So like, we already know that guys are paying attention to her. Yes. She just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the second she knows it, because that's the other thing, like nothing's more intoxicating than being noticed when you're 16.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And then like, that then begs the question, were these girls goth girls because they were unaware of their femininity as a weapon? And then after realizing that, then she realized like, oh, okay, I can actually use this for my benefit, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Because there is a moment at the beginning of the movie where one of the fuckboys goes up to Ginger and asks her out, and takes a minute before she says no. Because she does say no, but she thinks about it. So there is a part of themselves where they yearn to sort of be the girls like Trina. Also, in the beginning of the movie, when Bridget is sort of drawing and one of the guys compliments her on her drawing, she like sort of like blushes a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are traces of the girls, you know, trying to
more grown
or
up
like
girls.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like trying to yearning to be like, I don't want to say normal, but you know what I mean? Like everyone else, like, you know,
And they were sour grapes in the beginning,
like accepting that they're interested in guys too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that it that it doesn't mean they're like cliche or lame or like everybody else. Like they don't have to just be, but they don't have to just belong to each other. And they're both like really grappling with that.
You know, I think there is an idea of sort of being shy about your body, or like the idea of like, oh my, I just don't want to be seen that way. That's why they wear such like oversized clothes at the beginning. Bridget is wearing a stunning cardigan that I really want to steal.
Oh my God.
Like that oversized cardigan. I'm like obsessed. Give it to me.
Both of their outfits, to be honest, I know they were supposed to look schlubby, but I was like, that's how, just look, I would,
look
I would
cool
wear that.
Cool now.
Cause like, oh my God. So the scene when they're in the drugstore and Bridget or Ginger's like doubled over because of her cramps.
Yes.
The like weird, like very school marmy, like kitten heel white shoes she was wearing. I was like, whoa, I would totally wear that strange outfit.
It is a look. It's an odd look, but you're right, Kelly. It's an odd look, but it's still a look.
It's
the
such
aesthetic
a
look. Is perfect. Like,
yes. And also, okay, all the moments where Bridget, when she is like running, you know, when she's alone and trying to investigate Ginger's changes, she goes into that dollhouse, which is like placing her in a very like infantile place.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or not dollhouse. They're like playhouse.
The little,
But it's like small. All the furniture's small. And it's like obviously from when they were kids. So it's interesting that she is reverting to this place that she probably played with her sister in.
Right. Yeah,
when she's feeling rejected by her.
Right. Well, I think because being a grown up is so scary, she is scared of Ginger. She's scared of Ginger's new body. She's scared of Ginger's new, you know, she's churned, according to Bridget. In her in her mind, it's too late to save Ginger. She didn't keep the pact.
Yeah.
She turned 16.
Yeah,
this
she
is her
did.
16.
And it was her
And she was the one
pack.
Who was pushing it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Can we talk about a top quote, which comes at the top of the movie, sets the tone for what the whole movie is going to be like. Mm-hmm. So we tilt up on an image of fucking Ginger, somehow like bisected by a fence, and she's on her back. And she's very still. And so we're like, oh, is she dead? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Bridget says, too much blood. Plus, I can see your gaunch. And I...
Yeah.
Gaunch is so fucking funny.
Have never heard what this the heck is a gaunch before.
It's a vagina, I think.
Oh my god,
Canadian, but like some regional term.
It's a Canadian vagina.
Yeah, it's a Canadian
gaunch
vagina.
Is a Canadian vagina. Yeah.
It was so funny. But so it's lines like that where like if you read it on the paper it's like okay, but they deliver it so naturally.
Yeah,
well like
they're like
here,
oh these weird girls,
the
this is how they talk.
Quotes I wrote down, it's like the most hilarious quotes. One was oops. Do you guys know what that moment was?
Oops.
When she goes, you infected Jason, and after a very long pause, Ginger just goes, oops. I laughed so hard. And then the other one was, what do you guys want? When the fucking mom is about to see Trina's dead body in the freezer, and she goes to put the pack of meat in that she just brought home from the grocery store, and as a way to like, she knows it's going to distract her mom, she just goes, what do you guys want? And the mom is like, oh, you finally asked me, and truly like goes up and hugs her.
Yeah. So, okay, seriously.
To be brought in.
On the subject of mom, because mom, I felt like.
We must discuss mom.
So first of all, costuming on mom.
Oh my god.
10 out of 10.
Style
so
icon.
Funny.
Somebody dress up as her for Halloween, please.
Yes, please.
I'm on
second
it.
Up. Okay, so we cut from. So she is like so, you know, from the very beginning, we can tell that she just desperately wants to be involved in her daughter's lives. And they're just like, ugh, get away, mom.
And she's pushing and pushing, which ties into another line that I wrote down, but continue.
And she, you know, wants to talk about, you know, if they have any questions, blah, blah, blah. So then she's doing laundry, and this is after Ginger has been infected by the werewolf thing, and she gets her period for the first time, and it's heavy period.
Oof. I mean, she's basically bleeding out.
Yeah.
She's going through the laundry, putting it in, and then she picks up a pair of underwear that the gusset is. And this is another thing. I loved that this movie did not shy away
from,
it like,
just fucking
period shit.
It just shows it. It just shows so much blood. It's showing she's dripping blood. It's showing the blood dripping down her leg. It's just a fucking pair of underwear that has been destroyed by my
destroyed. So she holds it up. She's looking at it. And then we cut to her carrying a fucking cake that's covered in like drippy strawberry compote. And she's got her like a congrats, you got your period cake. And brings it out and it's like, oh, she's finally becoming a woman. Like, I loved this mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a bit
so
clueless.
Funny.
She's like sort of out of touch. But again, it is that it's selling that idea of to Ginger and Bridget. She is so out there.
Yeah.
Like wearing these clothes that are literally the direct opposite of Ginger and Bridget.
Yeah, like, she's everything they don't want to be.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. She looks like she shops at Joanne all the time. Like she.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She makes her own clothes.
Yes.
Michael's personified.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
And she does a lot of crafts, and that comes into play with the plot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And it's the idea of the mom chasing these girls, trying to connect with them. And they just will not have it at all. You know, it's interesting when like a maternal figure is someone who is so, in a way, desexualized, you know, where they didn't grow up with like a mom who, you know, didn't wear incredibly baggy clothes and like weirdly dresses like a child sort of.
Yeah.
Thing,
yeah.
Yes. Know? Yes.
Which was kind of a mom look in the 90s.
Yes, it
absolutely.
Was
a childlike look.
Mm-hmm. I loved that that there's a line too that Ginger says when she's like kind of, you know, she's losing herself to the werewolf form, and she's yelling and she's saying, well, I can be a, what is it? She's like, I can be a slut. I can be a bitch. She's like going through like basically the things women can be.
Mm.
And I like that we see all of those versions in this movie.
Yeah.
Like we see like the scorned woman, we see the quote slut, we see the virgin, we see the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like what you said, at first they're just that. And then as the movie goes on, it's like, oh, but like the mom, like, you know, she's really much more, she's has more dimension.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's cool.
The other line that I wrote down of hers, because that moment in the van that you were talking about, Kelly, at the end where she's like, let's just go, let's get away from here. And Bridget says, because she says, because everybody's going to blame me. Everybody's going to think it's my mm-hmm. fault, because she's found Trina's body. She knows it's a body. She's like, we will just burn the house down and start a new life together and it's fine. And Bridget says, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's so sweet. And she just goes, but it is.
And I also love this moment. She refuses
to let herself off the hook. And the other quote I wrote down that sort of like pairs with that was more that it's right after she says what do guys want to distract her from finding Trina's body?
Yeah.
And she's like, Bridget's playing mind games with her to try to get her to leave them alone. And she just goes, oh, Ginger was saying how cool it is that you're just like leaving us alone and like letting hands us off, figure it out ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the mom goes, oh, I wondered if that approach was working.
Yes,
it was because that's not what she's been doing at all. It was so sweet. I wondered if that approach was working. Like, yes, I am doing a good job. It was so sweet.
Good mom. Yeah.
There was another mom moment that I thought was really cool and kind of signified like Bridget's march towards womanhood and away from childhood is when at the very end, and this is when mom is at the party, and it's like right after they've had their conversation, and she's like, okay, just wait here, mom, and I'm going to go get Ginger. And she finds Ginger, and she has just traded blood with her to be like, now you've infected me. They do a
blood pact, yeah.
They did a blood pact,
yeah,
where she's like, now I'm you, right? So she's taking this like irreversible step towards growing up.
Mm-hmm. And then to lure Ginger
to the house. But it also is just like symbolically she can't go back. She now is forever a woman. She can't go back and be a child anymore. Right. And then we have that imagery of her going back into the party. The mom has decided, you know what, I'm going to go in and see if I can find them. So mom is walking through the crowd looking for her daughters, and they make eye contact, and Bridget just keeps walking and leaves with Ginger. So it's like going away from the mother, going away from like my
childhood.
My role as
mom
a
isn't
child.
Gonna help me anymore. Yeah. Yeah, she's like, I gotta do this by myself. She's also in her own way, like growing up too.
Yeah, I loved that moment.
Also, well, the one thing that I'm gonna say about the mom is that, like, yeah, we get this weird childlike quality of this mother. She is sort of like a big old square, which honestly relatable.
Yeah.
But also, mom is a fucking badass. We gotta point out the fact that she was able to dig up that body. She was willing to burn the house down. She picked up those fingers when dad got really squeamish, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, there's multitudes there. She was able to hold it down. She's very much, like, a protector of the house. She holds, honestly, the pants in the house.
She does.
Where the dad at? What he doing?
What's he doing? You know? Also, she did it in the lens of this like stay-at-home mom vibe, where she's putting the fingers she found in a little Tupperware and putting them in the fridge. I loved that. I love that
she's like, oh, you're such a baby, don't be so squeamish, they're obviously fake. And then you find out that she knew that they weren't fake.
They were exactly.
Because
she's brilliant.
She looks at him and is like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
These are like,
what do my girls just do?
Yeah.
And she's so willing to just like burn it down literally for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's fantastic. She's a badass. Mm-hmm.
She is.
Props to the mom, you know.
Props to the mom.
Honestly, props to the mom. Can we talk about Trina for a second?
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Happy to.
Because Trina is your stereotypical sort of mean girl, popular girl, mark?
Yeah.
But she's like a jock girl.
But she's a jock girl. She doesn't look like your stereotypical like mean girl. She doesn't look like a Mandy Moore in Saved or like a Regina George from Mean Girls. She's, I guess, Canadian mean girl, maybe?
Yeah, I think she's Canadian mean girl. She's not our American like skinny blonde mean girl. She's a Canadian fucking like jock. She's also very pretty.
She's very pretty. She's very and I loved this detail of her where when we first see her, she's like trying to throw herself at this
drug dealer guy.
And she's like, call me. So basically her reason why she's so popular with the boys, and I don't want to sound like a fucking mom from the 90s, but is that she is available to them. And she's confident, or not confident, but she's aware of her body. And so I think that kind of pushes her to popularity.
Yeah, but I don't know if y'all went, if you had like the same high school dynamics, but to me, fucking the drug dealer is, or like dating the drug dealer was such a big like lame, like you don't fuck the drug dealer. You don't date the drug dealer. Like the drug dealer is just dealing drugs to kids and he, no.
I feel like it could go either way depending on the crowd though. Cause it's like either like, ew, gross, that's dirty. Wow, she's the baddest bitch there is.
My school was very, very large. And so we had like different cliques of popular kids.
Yeah.
So like for the druggy popular kids, like that would have been really cool.
That's the cool thing.
The like ASB popular kids probably wouldn't have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's
what's ASB?
Oh, Associated Student Body. So like, you know,
that's what
like
it was called here. Instead of student government or student council, it was ASB.
I see.
So it's like, you know, the class president, like those people would be like, ew. But like, there was, you know, we had a stoner crowd. We had like, basically we had like a beach stoner crowd that probably would have been like, oh, that's cool. Like
same. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hung with the beach stoner crowd. Well, it shows where I was
in the social status. Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't hanging out with those people. I knew of those people.
Oh, I was hanging out with those people.
You were?
Yeah, yeah. For like half of junior year, I was hanging out with those people. And then it was just
you're cool.
The drugs at the party got to be too much. I wasn't having fun. I didn't want to participate in the drugs. And so I broke up with them. But like in a very open way, I was just like, hey guys, no judgment on the drugs. It's just like not my scene. So I'm just like going to extricate myself. But like, let's still be friends at school. And everybody was very cool about it. Unfortunately, they were less cool about the fact that three of the girls came with me and were kind of like aggressively weird about it.
Uh-oh. Were they kind of like teetotaler-y?
In that. It was like a whole, not really. It was just like, then we all really started making fun of them. Like we had this notebook that we passed back and forth in class.
You have a burn book?
We had a burn book and we had code names for everyone. And the code names, weirdly, were Pokemon.
Oh,
what?
I did a code name thing too. We would do that too. We called this one girl Windmill. Like,
I think my friend was like Jigglypuff. I forget what my code name was. And I didn't know Pokemon. And we weren't Pokemon girls. I don't know why. We weren't like comic book nerdy girls. I don't know why. But we had all these Pokemon nicknames or just like nicknames based on like their like look. And they stole it from my friend Jen's house.
Oh,
complete nightmare.
No.
Complete nightmare.
Made copies of it.
No.
And like ripped it up and threw it in our locker.
No.
And I got a letter from some of the girls and they were like, we don't blame you. We're still friends. And I was like, if you attack them, you attack me. And I went at them in the middle of the hall and they were like calling us sluts as we walked down the hall. But again, me, I'm always sort of like somehow like on the outside kept clean. So like getting away with it, but they weren't. And they were really fucking mad at them. And I don't know if it was like in my writing, I wasn't fully participating in the like toxicity. I guess so, because I was a lot less willing to gossip about people high school through college. Now very, very much less so.
Like everyone's like bullshit is on blast right now, so it's fine.
Yeah. And so I like screamed at them in the hall. That was the ripping up. I ripped up their letter saying like, we still want to be friends with you, and I threw it in their face.
Oh my!
But also, it was so
big
funny.
Screaming match, and we all got taken to the principal.
What?
The principal wouldn't do anything about it, and we were like explaining to them the source of the problems, and the principal was like, "Well, I know Sandra would never do that. Like, she went to this like student body like camp thing. She would never do that. And we're like, you don't fucking know what's going on. And some of my friends started crying and like we stomped out. And there was this kid sitting outside the principal's office, like waiting to be seen.
Oh my God.
And he was like a cooler, like senior kid. And he got called in and found out later that he got fully suspended from school for like 2 days because when he said, the principal said something like, it's not my job to make sure you get to school on time. And he goes, no, your job is to make little girls cry.
Oh my God.
It was this whole big drama.
Also, it's very funny to me that you're like, if you come at my friends, like, it's over or whatever. But it's like, also they were mad that you wrote a burn book. So it's like,
well, they were mad at them. And it was like, well, you stole our property.
Like, oh my God. But it's all, yeah, it's so funny how all that shit gets so twisted up in high school. Very funny.
High school is nuts. I don't want to ever want to go back to high school. Yikes. I'm so
hell
glad.
No.
That is over and done with.
Bye, bitch.
I mean, no, I had a great high school experience, but my God, it was like a bunch of teenagers. Like, drama was literally the thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I was
everybody like, oh, wanted God. It. Like, you hated it, but you wanted it.
Well, because then
you
were alive.
Because you would feel knew you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, like, you could, if you could talk shit about somebody, then that meant they weren't looking at you. And so.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of like allegiances, you know what I mean? It is like, whose side are you on in this petty ass stuff? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's
thank you.
Tribalism.
It's so funny.
Always
there
popular.
Was like, there was this big like
always
drama.
In style.
Jeans and tribalism.
Oh my God. Always. I remember there was this drama that like occurred because, so there was this girl that was like new at our school and, she, like, from the second she came in, she was angling to be part of the popular girl group. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, she, like, became friends with some of the, it was just a classic thing where she was new. She became friends with a couple of the, like, you know, people who would actually be nice to a new person. Mm-hmm. And then she immediately was like, oh, but, like, I have my eyes set on, like, these girls and I want to be friends with them. So she, like, she would just, like, bend over backwards, like, you know, bring like presents for them all the time. And then I remember one time, like, I somehow got caught up in the drama, which was very weird because I was so ancillary. I was not at all, like, I wasn't in the first group or the second group. Like, I wasn't at all involved. But she, like, said that I still remember this. She said that I called Brittany, who was like the popular girl. Yeah, she's like, she's like, you know, Kelly said that you are, what was it, a $2 hooker or something like
that. Okay, what?
Yeah, and then so this group of girls came up to me and they were like, so we heard that you said this about Brittany. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, you said this about Brittany. And I was like, I don't know Brittany. I was like, I've never spoken to Brittany. Like, I don't. And then one of the girls, I think, was like hip to it and she was like, wait. And then she like kind of made a comment where she was like, oh, I think like so-and-so is behind this. And it was that girl who she was just trying to like prove her. She was like a fucking Iago. She was like trying to prove her loyalty to this girl. But it was so weird to be like roped in because I was like, I don't know any of these people. Like, it's very strange. But I sat next to that girl in a class. So she probably just got some idea where she was like, oh, I'll say that like this girl said something.
Oh, my gosh.
But so strange.
That petty ass shit. Like, no, miss me with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm done.
No.
But the I wanted to talk a little bit more about Trina because so the whole Trina situation, and we kind of hinted at it before. So at first she's like just this, you know, kind of mean girl that like pushes the Fitzgerald sisters around.
I mean, to be fair, they did talk shit about Trina.
They did. They said she was DOA in the fucking drugstore aisle.
Uh-huh. She said she likes it with her panties right up her crack.
Yep. And they were like,
they like have a game where they invent like how girls die. And it seemed like Trina really was not paying attention to them. So
I was so shocked when she said that.
Them problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Because truly, like the way they were talking, I didn't notice that she overheard. But then when she at the very end, like she's like, well, then maybe you're DOA, whatever. And I was like, oh, she was listening. She has heard them talk shit about her.
Well, because that one girl, like, did hear it and went over and told Trina.
See, that's what you... Spies everywhere. You can't trust anybody in high school. Mm.
Loose lips.
But so she seemed, but like that moment when she comes over and she's so upset, and also her dog is missing. And so she's like, you know, she's like, give me back my dog, and like, you know, stay away from him because like he's, and it's almost like what I like is that she's never, she's not like, you're a bitch for taking my man. It's almost like she's like, don't think that he's great because he's
right,
not.
Yeah.
But then she's like,
I'm more about you. Almost like, don't become me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're totally right, Lindsay. That's exactly how I read that too. It's like, yeah. I'm too deep in this. Like, I don't look how, because it was a little sad when she was like flirting with the drug dealer who didn't give a shit about her. Let's be real. You know? And she recognizes that. And she's like, you're going to fall. You know what I mean? You're going to be digmatized like me. And that shit ain't cute. Like, just don't be me.
Yeah.
Don't fall for it.
Well, also, because I don't doubt
give
that
him
she
the satisfaction for once.
Yes.
Is what
yes,
she said.
Exactly.
And I don't doubt that she did sleep with him at one time. And
absolutely. And I will say, and I will emphasize the one time. Because I think they did have sex one time.
Yes.
He ignored her. She thought they were dating. It was a whole mess. And like, she's
and
been obsessed ever since.
Kind of then get the impression that like, that isn't his MO. He just, he had sex with her. He wasn't into her.
Yeah.
He ended it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
because
feels
he's
like
not
older
predatory,
to me.
And
yeah,
he is older,
I mean,
though.
I did not like that he was, here's what I think. I think he probably was a jerk to Trina. Wasn't cancelable, but was a jerk. And that's fine. People can be jerks. Mm-hmm. Like, he probably ghosted her or whatever. And he was obviously trying to give her the brush off at school. And
that's
he
a good lesson. Just because you're an asshole doesn't necessarily mean you can cancel them.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think, I think probably he slept with her and then just brushed her off. And that does suck for her.
And it's sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad. It's, and in a way, Trina is the tragic figure of this movie because she, you know, she didn't welcome the vitriol from the girls. She was just like a popular girl, defended herself, and then went to these girls' house, slipped on, what did she slip on? Milk?
Milk. Yeah.
Hit her head and died. Like, oh my God, what a way to go. Like,
yeah, poor Trina.
Tragic.
I know, tragic. Really tragic. And then her fingers get broken off.
I know.
And they're trying to ice pick her out of the freezer.
There's something really interesting that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
When she does get frozen or she falls and dies and Ginger's sort of loving it. Mm-hmm. And Bridget's like, are you going to eat her? And she's like, ew, no. It'd be like I'd be doing her.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting to me. I want to talk about this idea of like, I don't think Ginger attacked women at all. I don't think
she doesn't. It's
and
so
until
that
it
pointed,
gets really like, weird, that moment in the hallway with Bridget.
Well,
yeah,
exactly.
Which is like, bless the movie for being willing to go there. And it's also like, can you imagine something more disturbing than your sister being like kind of coming on to you and saying, well, we're not really related anymore because of how much I've turned into a werewolf. So like,
I'm a different
species.
And then
she like gets on top of her and is like, oh, the worst.
Yeah. I love that the movie went there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
And I guarantee you that if this movie, or if like certain people found out about this movie today, they'd be like, cancel this movie because it makes me uncomfortable.
No, because it shows that she's more animal
commentary than
like, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think she's like, she's fully turned. Like there's no going back, you know?
Sorry, I don't want to.
No. I totally forgot what I was going to say. So go.
Well, if you remember, interrupt me.
Okay.
What is your guys' take on the ending, because I have a question in that. So for one thing, Sam gets fully eaten. R.I.P. Sam, which
it's
I was
fine.
Surprised
I'm okay
by.
With that.
I was surprised
okay
to attach,
it?
But
I was surprised. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was surprised. I thought he would live, but I was like, this is fine.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's sure. And then there's a big battle, and it seems like Bridget wants to stab her with the what is that herb? It's not Wolfsbane.
Monk's hood.
The monk's hood syringe. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've like created a serum from boiling down this monk's hood that their mom was using in flower crafts. which was set up from like scene one with the mom.
Yeah.
The
work really good was put details in. That all paid off, mm-hmm. by the way.
Yeah. And she's got it in the syringe to cure Ginger, but she at this point has infected herself. It's kind of seemed to me like when Ginger comes after her and she accidentally stabs her, it's like Bridget makes the choice to keep the syringe to save herself as opposed to saving
Ginger.
Yeah.
Which is like the ultimate, like, I have to choose me. I can't be yours anymore.
Yeah, I think so. I also think, you know, the ending with, you know, Bridget choosing not to use the syringe on Ginger. I think it's also kind of like that thing of sometimes, and this happens in friendships, puberty does make you a different person and you can't go back to that friendship that you had with this person. And so it's kind of like, you know, some relationships, when tested, break. Mm-hmm. And that I thought was really powerful and really sad. Mm-hmm. I really loved the ending. I love that it ended that way.
Yeah, she just ends it. The movie ends with her laying on top, like holding, laying on top of Ginger and holding her as she takes her last breaths. And it's so sad.
Yeah, it's really, good.
She gets stabbed with, I assume, a silver knife or something.
I think it's just a knife. Because they've established that, like, it doesn't need to be silver. You can just run over
a werewolf. Oh, because she gets her, like, belly button pierced earlier.
Right,
in the
movie, it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work.
Oh, also.
I have a theory, though, that it does make it so that it takes longer for Ginger to change. Because Jason is changing rapidly.
That's true.
That moment where Bridget finds him, like, attacking a little kid, and she sticks the syringe in his neck. And he like, it works. And he changes back and comes to. And he just says, this was the last quote I wrote down. He just goes, I have to go. I have a class. And runs away. Yeah.
I loved that.
That whole scene was so silly. Because it is that little child just like being like, help, help. It was just like, not the best acting, number one.
No.
Number two was like, he got stuck with a needle on his neck and he's still rocking that the hypodermic needle still on his neck. It's just all very, very funny.
It's very funny. I also like that the little kid is dressed up like a little dog. So it's like on brand with the dog.
I didn't even catch being that. Killed. That's funny.
Yeah. He's a little Dalmatian.
Okay, so with the dogs, right? Because the werewolf is known as the beast of, oh my god, what's the name of the town?
Oh shit, like something. Right.
Bailey Downs.
Bailey Downs. Right? So he's the werewolf is an urban legend, right?
Yeah.
Why are there so many dogs in this town, knowing that there's a freaking beast that will eat your dog?
Why are you letting your dog sleep outside at night?
Yeah. Because it's clear that from the beginning, right? Like, they know that dogs are dropping left and right. Because when she comes in and she's like, I loved that opening sequence of the little kid playing and the mom finds that he's holding onto a fucking beheaded dog paw.
Yeah.
And then we like kind of do that like turning zoom, go into the doghouse, which I thought was very funny.
Very cool, yeah.
But then Bridget comes in and says to Ginger, that dog is toast or whatever. And she's like, oh, someone's got to find that thing. So like they know that there's something out there.
Yep.
I'm also like, who was that werewolf?
Yeah.
I was going to say, circumcised who is man. That werewolf?
He was a circumcised man.
Do we know
man.
That?
Yeah, that because that was man. A joke that made me laugh. After Sam hits him with his car and he like finds Bridget once he realizes that she also saw it was like a fucking werewolf. He like hits him with it and says something to her like, yeah, well, I realized something a little weirder was going on with when that like wolf had a man's uncircumcised penis.
Oh my god.
Why not just say something penis? Why make it
man's so circumcised funny. Penis?
So apparently, casting these leads, it was really hard because LA casting directors, super easy to find, but apparently like Canadian casting directors were like, this movie is appalling. I do not want any part of it. And it was right around Columbine.
Oh, shit.
So Columbine had happened. So then they were like, well, we don't want like violent teenagers. Like that's a whole thing. But they were eventually able to get somebody on board for it. And the two lead actresses auditioned with each other, reading off to each other.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Also, I got to say, the actress who played Bridget was in the original It movie. Just a fun little fact. She was the little girl in It.
Wow.
Yes. Emily. Oh, my God. What's the name of that actress? To me. And also, can we talk about that's a wig Bridget was wearing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was like a hat. Why did they have her wear that? It was so.
So I was like, is this like a choice to like grease up her hair and like dry it the fuck out?
Yeah, but
like,
maybe.
It was.
It had to have been a wig. There's.
I
no
was like, why can we not see any scalp in her part? Like, they should have plucked some of those hairs to get. It was. But
it was comical. It was absolutely
very comical. Mm-hmm. Very, very comical. I'm just looking at like little details. The two lead actresses. Get this.
Oh, I
born
read this.
In the same hospital. Did you see this already?
Yeah.
Born in the same hospital, went to the same preschool, elementary, and private schools, and were at the same agency.
Wait. Were they friends before they?
No.
No.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep.
Crazy. Come on. And this kind of coincidence stuff is wild.
I know. And then Mimi Rogers was like instantly on board because she was like, I like this. She was instantly wanting to be in the movie.
I mean, wouldn't you want to be a part of this movie? It is epic. It's like
dream role.
It's so incredible. Oh gosh. It's perfect.
And yeah. This isn't a part that she would typically play because like Mimi Rogers is a sexy lady.
Yeah.
She's not really frumpy mom type.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she got to wear these fun like denim vests and like have that really intense hair. Of like those tendrils kind of at the temples with like a Absolutely. Half up, half down hairdo.
You know, I did believe the transformation of Ginger turning from like a goth.
Yes.
A homely goth to like hot chick. Yep, she does look like those dolls or the cartoons Monster High. I don't know if you're familiar.
Yes.
But she looks exactly like I think that's the template they use for Monster High for the werewolf character. I was like, she looks like a legit Bratz doll meets a spooky doll.
And when it was like a weirdly like logical like extension of her real teeth.
Yes.
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 Well, also I was like, oh my God, first of all, the ADR in this movie is out of control.
Out of control.
Oh really? I didn't notice.
Oh yeah. My God. Oh my God. Because it's like, could you imagine like speaking with those like fake ass teeth? I'm sure they had to do much ADR.
So basically all of her when she had full prosthetics on, she couldn't talk without a super intense lisp.
I'm sure.
Which would have detracted from the hotness, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, maybe lists are sexy. Maybe you're into lists.
Maybe. I can't speak to what individuals like.
Exactly. But it is funny to be like this like super sexy werewolf and be like, so what's going on, guys?
Yeah. Dude, when she walks in and because she turns into kind of like a whitish werewolf.
Yes, yes.
When she walks into that costume party and she has like that hair and the full process, like I thought that look was so cool.
Yeah, I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. She reminded me of Sindel from Mortal Kombat. I was living.
Oh my God, yes.
In my fantasy.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it's so funny too because she like shaved a lot. She like shaved all the time.
Yeah.
And when she turns into beast werewolf mode, it is a hairless wolf, which I have to remind myself.
I know.
Which is like, oh yeah, that's what a werewolf would look like if you shaved all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I loved the moment when she's trying to shave off all of her hair and her mom comes in.
Oh yes, yeah. I love that.
I loved that moment and she closes it and the poor mom is like still trying to connect with her and she's like, don't come in. And she's like, well, you haven't seen any, you don't have anything I haven't seen before. And and she's like, well, I don't know about that.
She's like, you want to bet?
And then she just searches for something to say and she's like, I'm fat. And then her mom's like, sees the fashion magazines and she's like, don't compare yourselves to. And I was like, oh, this mom, she's so nice.
Have to take speed to stay that thin.
Yeah.
So sweet.
She's trying her best, this mom.
She's a good mom.
She's a good mom.
They are so mean to her. They're so fucking mean to her. And I hate
I feel like everyone is so mean to their mom. I know. I feel like everyone is mean to her. I think the dad is a little mean.
The dad
sucks. Right? Like, this dad is not a good dad, right?
When he was like, I mean, he is right, but he's not. Because, like, there's one point where he's so mean, but he's correct. When he's like, I think the girls are up to something. And she's like, what are you talking about? Like, they're just being teenage girls. And he's like, well, then why are they so interested in what you have to say all of a sudden? And I was like, oh,
so cruel.
How dare you? That's true.
Well, their first dinner together, she goes, now you girls stay in because there's a beast out there and your father and I have couples counseling. And I was like, yeah, you do.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Oh, boy.
They were shooting outside in Toronto's winter for 16-hour days, 6 days a week.
No.
So basically, like, everyone just got sick
every few weeks. Adequate rest periods.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
For heroes. So, yeah, rounds through the cast of, like, sicknesses. Various sicknesses.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell that everyone was freezing at all times.
Absolutely.
They were very
covered up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Could you imagine, like, wearing what Ginger was wearing in the later scenes and then just being in the freaking cold all day? No.
No, no way. No, I am. No,
absolutely not.
No. It's great. Like, I just shot something where I was in 29 degree weather with, like, just a cotton dress on.
Where were you that it was only 29 degrees?
Dude, Pine Mountain Club this week. It was at night. That's why.
Where is that?
It's only an hour and a half north of here.
Jeez.
But it just got very cold. It got very cold one night. Oh, in the day, it was like 50. So then at night, it was very cold. So it was normally like 30-something degrees. Jeez. But then just the one night that we were doing outdoor shoots at night, it was 29 degrees. Jeez. So it was very hard to pretend to not be fucking freezing.
Yeah.
So I would just like wear a puffer jacket in between takes. And then would just be like, okay, 3, 2, 1. And then like take it off and then pretend to be just normal.
Oh, my God.
Intense.
But it was hard because you could kind of see our breath. And I was like, oh, we should not see their breath for the context of this film. So, yeah.
Very true.
We'll see.
Right.
But it's weird because you kind of turn it off when you're like fully in it. Then you'll turn it off. It's weird. And then the second they're like, okay, great, we got it. You're like, I'm going to die.
It's almost like adrenaline.
Yeah. Keeps it back. But I can't imagine doing, I mean, I can't, that was just like one day, you know, like I can't imagine 6 days a week for 6 weeks. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No, that would be too much.
Oh my God. Mm. 16 hours a day, 6 days a week for 6 weeks. Are you joking me?
That's too much.
Are you joking?
I won't do it. Can't do it.
Mm-mm. Won't do it. No way. And also during the winter, you have so little daylight. Ugh, I can't what they're doing. And all the way far north like that.
You know, the things they've done to give us Ginger Snaps.
Indeed. It took me way too long to understand the title of this movie. Because when I saw it just like on the shelf at video stores.
Right.
I thought they were like being referred to as Ginger Snaps.
That's what I thought too.
But her name is Ginger. And so then I spent the whole movie going, so why is this called Ginger Snaps? If only her name is Ginger, that's so specific. And I was like, oh, because Ginger Snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you a little secret?
Yes.
Just figured that out right now when you were saying that. So.
Kelly.
No, well, until you said it took me so long to figure out the name Ginger Snaps. And I was like, oh. But then I stayed quiet.
She said, It's because Ginger snaps.
They
are not Ginger Snaps themselves.
No.
It's a movie about Ginger snapping.
Ginger Snaps, yeah. But interestingly enough, Ginger isn't our protagonist. It's Bridget.
No, it's Bridget. B.
Which is...
It's totally fucked, B. That's what they're always saying. Yeah, it's Bridget.
Oh, I totally... Like, I just realized she's Beverly in the TV movie of It. Bridget plays Beverly as a girl.
Oh,
man. She's good in that.
She's good in that. Yeah, she's good in this. Mm-hmm. She gives you scared really well. Yes. She's like a really strong, strong final girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, really good.
But, you know, I got to say, there's... Yeah, okay, so for me, Ginger Snaps is incredible. I would say it's a superior... I don't know what your thoughts on Jennifer's Body is.
Oh, I love Jennifer's Body as well.
We need to talk about Jennifer's Body on there.
Yeah.
I love Jennifer's Body. To me, it's... For those listening, I would do a double feature of Ginger Snaps, then Jennifer's Body. Actually, I would do Jennifer's Body first and then Ginger Snaps.
Yeah.
Because they're both so complementary with each other. They are. I would say... sort of identical plots in a weird way. One's a succubus, one's a werewolf.
For sure.
But to me, the thing that I'm just thinking about is like the lead isn't, I mean, oh wow, Ginger Snaps, Jennifer's Body, but the leads, the protagonists aren't either of these girls. It's not Jennifer and it's not Ginger.
Yeah.
It's the mousy sort of friend, the tag-along friend who gets like sort of bullied and pushed around. Like they're the protagonists.
The ones.
Yeah, that... and left behind in growing up. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I love both of these movies. I think I like this one more than Jennifer's Body, although it's very close. Very close. I like Jennifer's Body a lot, but this movie is maybe one of my favorite horror movies.
Well, the emotional core of this movie is
absolutely
stronger, more real, I think, and sadder.
Well, yes.
I think it's trying to say something in a way that Jennifer's Body says something, but not as impactful as Ginger Snaps, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just feels like it punches you in the core a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And who would you recommend this movie to?
Anybody.
Yeah.
Literally anybody.
Yeah.
Literally anybody. But especially like I think I wish I had seen this as a teenager.
Yeah, me too.
Because I feel like it would have, I don't know, I would have really understood it and it would have, I would have been resonated, you know, it would have resonated with me.
Just an extra level of appreciation.
Yeah, for me, like, it's I would recommend it to anyone, but specifically, like, I like that's why I said it's a perfect teen creeps movie, because it's someone who's sort of, it's a perfect movie where you're, like, part of, a, like, you're navigating a scary place that's high school, and you're, like, where, like, the social structures feel like a caste system, almost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At least that's my personal experience in high school, like, it just feels so like if you're a goth kid, you have to stay a goth kid until you graduate. You know what I mean? And if someone makes a transition from like stoner kid to sober kid, it's like a big ass deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like it's a movie to, like, for those people.
Social group.
Yeah. It's just like,
yes,
it's a perfect movie for those kind of people to be like, yes, we can do that. We can break out of this like weird caste system of like the expectation of what it's like to be a woman, a queer person, you know what I mean? A person on the fringes of society, like, especially, like, I don't know, there's a, to me, the way that I absorb Ginger Snaps is the embracing of sexuality as a weapon and not being scared of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's this, like, primal beast thing that we all have. We all have a little bit of that and, like, learning how to access that and harness that a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we've just been grown up to be scared of that our whole lives.
Yeah.
We've been grown, at least for me anyway, as a queer person, have been grown up to be like, no, we don't want you to flaunt your sexuality. No, we want you to be one of the good gays, you know? We want you to be, you know, beta to the alpha that is either, like, a straight girl or, you know, like, a straight guy, you know, you have to stick to your role. But there is an awakening of everybody, whatever sexual or gender identity you encompass, where you can harness your sexuality in a very powerful and potent way. And to me, this movie is for those people who don't quite know that yet or don't quite know how to harness that. Like, we are all Ginger and we can all snap, and there's power in that snapping, I think, you know?
But then also, like,
that's why I love this movie so much.
Yeah,
Bridget counterbalancing that with, like, you can use it as a weapon, you can be powerful, but you also don't have to be violent. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to overwhelm you. You can come to it on your terms.
Right.
Yeah.
It is like the weird mediation that you have to go through with your like more primal side, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The id, you know, like there is that like negotiation period where you're like, okay, like let me keep these emotions in check. Speaking as a fire sign, as an Aries, I do a lot of that. Mm-hmm, like, okay, let's keep those thoughts to yourself. Or maybe sometimes now is the time to say these emotions out loud. Like there is some of that in this movie that I really like.
Well, yeah, because when Ginger, and I loved this part because it kind of explored that of kind of like how strong, like, you know, when you're a teenager, you're first feeling like these feelings of sexual desire and obsession, like for the first time. So it feels consuming. So the part where she's throwing up blood and we discover that she's later, we find out that she ate a dog.
Yeah.
But she, when she's like,
I thought
it was just.
So did I.
I thought she ate Jason too. I kind of hoped she did, but she didn't. But she, so she's like throwing up all this blood and she's like, I thought it was just like sexual desire, but it wasn't. It was this feeling to devour and kind of that feeling of shame. Like, I don't know how much shame played into your guys' sexual, like, you know, awakening.
Absolutely.
Where you're like, where you do want to purge. Like, I have had feelings of like wanting to purge out those feelings and thoughts and being like, I thought, I didn't know that I would feel so wrong wanting sex. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so kind of like, I loved, I don't know. I feel like this movie is so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's great. It's so good.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yep.
And very Canadian.
And very Canadian. Also, you know, there is that moment. Remember when the fuck boy, his dick starts bleeding?
Oh my God. I was dying.
And he, like, runs over and, like, he's just like, my pen exploded, my red pen. And I'm like, ain't that some toxic masculinity ass shit where this guy won't even go to a doctor.
Right.
After his dick literally is exploding. He won't even do that. Like, shaking my damn head. Go see a doctor if your dick's bleeding, please.
Fellas, indeed. Is it gay to go to the doctor?
Yeah, is it gay to go to the doctor?
If your dick's bleeding.
You know someone has actually Googled that.
Yes. Also, okay, the fact that all the guys call a period on the rag, it just felt so
cringe.
I was like, oh, like cringe. just it feels so, it's like when guys call a vagina a gash where you're just like, ooh, what the fuck is that shit? Yeah. Ooh, like the violence inherent sure, in that.
Like red flag city. Ooh,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Woof.
Yes, 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 yes.
That
yes.
person has been raised to think very badly of women.
Yeah, alert, alert, gross. Alert.
Yeah, alert, absolutely. Red flag emojis all the way.
Okay, so do you think that you are a Ginger or a Bridget?
I'm obviously a Bridget. I can't even think of a scenario in which I'm a Ginger.
Yeah, interesting. I think I'm a Bridget with Ginger rising. I believe that there have been moments in my life where I was like, okay, I'm going to harness my sexual powers to get what I want. And, you know, did it work? Absolutely. No, absolutely not. But still, they're accessible to me. I have these tools.
Oh, yeah. You have these two wolves inside of you? Literally.
That's not what I said. But yes, that's what I meant.
That's what you said.
I have these, like, tools.
These two wolves.
I have this these tools. I said T-O-O-L-S. Okay. But yes, I have these two wolves and they are
Ginger
having sex. They're fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm probably, I think I'm, sometimes, okay. So sometimes I will project a Ginger, but always right underneath that veneer is a Bridget. Mm-hmm. Where it's absolutely. Like, okay, but like for real though, like I don't feel confident and I feel very like, you know, it's usually just a fake front that I'm putting up for if I'm being a Ginger. Mm-hmm. And it's like I actually feel very it's either because like I have to be doing it because I'm like on camera or something and I have to be like, welcome to this show or whatever. but
I think that's some, I think that's part of it, right?
Yeah,
I, like again, like
posturing.
That's part of my Ginger is like when I'm performing or when I'm like doing something like, yeah, that my Ginger, I'm naturally a Bridget. Like, I think I'm an introvert. I'm a bit shy. I can barely put sentences together. But like when the cameras are on, I have to harness that ginger side.
Yeah. Otherwise,
and I know
you'll
that
die.
It's there.
Yeah.
I know that it's there. You know? So, you know, it's like I think for all of us, we got to practice our ginger a little bit more.
Yes.
Yep. For sure.
If I have like a microphone in front of me or like a camera, I can talk to someone and be so normal and charismatic and all of that. And then if I have to talk to somebody in real life, it is a complete nightmare.
Absolutely.
Like I'll just be like, and then, and then be like, I would rather like be not doing this.
Be not doing this.
Honestly, same.
Yeah.
Same.
But I loved this movie. And I'm sorry if I was screaming about this the entire time and not letting anybody talk. It's just this is one of my favorite movies.
Not at all. I didn't feel that way at all.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh, wait. I have been meaning to text y'all about this movie called Cherry. I might have even texted
Brand New Cherry Flavor. Is that what you're going to talk?
Come again now?
Brand New Cherry Flavor. It's a TV
on
show.
Oh, no, I have not seen that. No, but I wanted to bring up this movie called Cherry Falls.
Okay, writing it down.
It's very interesting. I recently saw it, and I personally loved it.
Okay.
It's a movie. It's a slasher movie. Very teen creeps.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So people hit me up at Ozzymo on Twitter and Instagram if you are listening to this, and tell me what your thoughts on Cherry Falls, if you've seen it. It's about a serial killer that kills virgins.
Okay. Oh,
so
Cherry.
So it plays with the trope of, you know, like...
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite of Final Girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting, the take. I really enjoyed it. It's a movie I would recommend, and I would love for you both to watch it.
Yes.
Cherry Falls.
For sure.
Okay.
That's great.
I put it.
It's with Brittany Murphy, which is incredible.
Oh, Brittany. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you guys watch the documentary on HBO Max?
I haven't.
I have not. I heard that Perez Hilton is in it, and I was like,
But he is in it, and he is interviewed, and they do nothing but call him on his terrible
coverage
of her.
Okay, good.
And he does nothing but acknowledge it and express regret.
Okay.
So if that's a reason you weren't watching it, rest assured.
Okay. I wasn't sure what the vibe was, so I'm happy to hear.
He's very much like, I used to dehumanize celebrities for money.
Yeah.
And I regret it, and it was terrible, and I wish I had known, and I feel disgusted.
Okay. Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah. So it's good. It's hard to fault somebody who is that completely like taking ownership of their past behavior and apologizing for it. Like, what more can you kind of ask from a person?
Exactly.
We love a self-aware moment.
Yeah,
for sure.
We do. So we do.
I must respect that. It was like an okay documentary. I wouldn't say it was like really...
Not a must watch.
Special, but very interesting and very sad, and fuck that fucking husband of hers.
Wait, so how did he die?
Also of the same thing, and they still don't know what it was.
Really?
Yeah, I thought the documentary was going to like reveal the discovery. No, it just revealed that he was a controlling asshole who, while he didn't make her sick, he kept her from seeking care.
Oh, God.
And
that happened to my cousin.
Made it so that she was already in kind of a weakened state. Like he...
Oh, no.
He was controlling when she ate.
He was making her feel really bad about her body. She just got thinner and thinner when she was with him. He was really weird with the mom, too. He's just like a fucking Svengali
situation?
Weirdo.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
It's sad, tragic.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
Take It From Us Too Soon. Dude, her performance in fucking Girl Interrupted, that movie
was
my shit, dude.
So good.
I watched that movie probably like 57,000 times. I love that movie. It's like so quotable in like the most fucked up ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like for some reason, the quote of Jesus Christ, it's fucking Angelina Jolie says it. So you know it's going to be fucked up because her character is a psychopath.
Yeah.
But when she's like calling out, when they escape and they stay with Brittany Murphy's character
stuff.
She's like, everyone knows that you fucked your dad, but what they don't know is that you liked it. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's really, that whole scene where she's just going off on her is.
It's so brutal.
It is.
I love that movie though. And Elizabeth Moss is in it. I forgot she was in it.
Oh.
Elizabeth Moss. She's like, I'm feeling very musical today.
Right?
Yeah, she's the burn victim, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, that movie, I loved that movie so much.
You know, yeah, you know, if we're talking Brittany Murphy performances, she's so good. Obviously, Clueless.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
She's incredible in Cherry Falls. Truly, like, what? Truly, like, a Scream Queen contender.
Hell
like,
yes.
Absolutely incredible.
What year was this?
This was... good question.
Excuse me while I clickety-clack my way to the answer. 2000.
2008. Okay, so the movie... Okay, I think it was like released on like a heavily edited version was released. It was never released in theaters, I don't think.
Okay.
Because it just didn't do well. It was released after the success of Clueless, but I think it might have been her first movie she's ever
ever starred in.
Wow.
But yeah, it was one of those movies that like fell by the wayside that like was made and then everyone sort of forgot about it. But it's worth watching.
Okay. Nice. Definitely gonna watch it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this is really cool.
But I also love Brittany Murphy in The Ramen Girl, which is not a great movie, but she's really good in it.
I think she elevates everything she's in. Like, the scenes she's in, like, elevate because of her.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What a charismatic presence. And just, like, magnetic.
Yep.
But yeah, that was Ginger Snaps.
Oh, it's so good. Have you seen any of the sequels?
No. I have not. Ginger Snaps Back?
Yeah. It has like a whole bunch of
There's
sequels,
a bunch.
Actually.
Yeah. There's Ginger Snaps 2 Unleashed, Ginger like Snaps Back, which is, let's see, Ginger Snaps Back, The Beginning. That's, I think, a prequel. Yeah, prequel to Ginger Snaps and Ginger Snaps 2.
Oh, okay. Interesting what that would be about. It seems like we kind of got.
Yeah, I don't think we needed to explore that anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure. Go off, I guess.
Maybe we find out who that first wolf was then.
Oh, maybe.
Same actors. Interesting. They look so different. Probably because they're much older and it's a prequel.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait a second. Hold the phone. Is this a prequel? Because they're wearing cloaks.
Yes. It's a Fear Street.
Fear Street situation.
Oh, wait a second.
Yeah. No, they're in front of a log
like
cabin.
Origin story, even.
19th century Canada. The ancestors of the Fitzgerald sisters.
Unbelievable.
Stunning.
Okay, so I guess I got to catch up on my Ginger Snaps.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Wow. All three.
Love it. Yeah. Ginger Snaps 2 Unleashed.
Learn it, live it, love it.
Learn it. Both of these movies came out in 2004. Can you believe? Wait, I'm sorry. Tatiana Maslany is in Ginger Snaps 2.
What?
Whoa. Does she play Ghost? The girl she meets in the rehab? Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now I got to watch both these.
I know, damn.
Okay. Wait, how did you know that she meets a girl in a rehab?
Because I read it earlier.
Oh. I was like, damn, how? Yeah, she plays Ghost.
Because I looked up the Wikipedia.
Because I secretly watched all the movies.
Because I am Ghost.
Dude. Sorry, I'm now seeing. I'm now seeing like people also search for. And I'm seeing such bangers like Urban Legend. That was fucking, I loved that
Urban
movie.
Love Urban Legend.
Wow. Yeah.
There's so many great movies out there. Huh?
Did we talk about Urban Legends together? We did, right?
No. We didn't. I mean, we didn't cover it, but we might have talked about it.
What did we talk about? Did I just watch it for the fuck of it?
Maybe. It's a good movie.
Weird. Okay.
That was like the era of like that and like 13 Ghosts. Like, I feel like that.
Oh my God, 13 Ghosts. Oh my gosh.
Dude.
Love 13
Ghosts. I wanted the backstory of every single one of those ghosts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would love if someone did an anthology of those ghosts.
Oh my God. Like, you could do a whole season of 13 Ghosts.
And you could even do like just little like 15 minute things of each ghost's like origin.
Little shorts. Yeah. Well, maybe that's something that we got to do, Kelly.
Well, maybe we delete this from the podcast and then we go do it. How about that?
Maybe put your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Loved this movie. It was actually you who recommended it originally that got it on my radar, Oz. So I thank you.
Yay!
Because this is truly one of my favorite movies. I love it.
It's so freaking. But I mean, I'm telling you, Ginger Snaps is next. And I don't know if you saw Valentine, but that's another one of my favorites.
Oh my God, Valentine. Oh my God. Same era.
I forgot about that movie.
Same era. Exactly. It's in the same.
David Boreanaz?
Yes, Valentine. David Boreanaz.
It's that early 2000s, dude. It's like.
It was a moment.
Oh my God, Denise Richards. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Valentine. Oh my God.
All right. Well, we have many more.
So many more.
Cover with
the
each other.
Early 2000s horror scene was like the shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And we're back to another horror resurgence. So I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Big fan of that.
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Oz, for joining us.
Yes.
Always
so fun.
Always,
it is always a blast. Are you kidding me?
Do you have anything you would like to plug?
No. I would love. I would love for if. I mean, I guess it's too late to do this. But listen, if you love Ginger Snaps, listeners out there, I would love if you threw a little, you know, a little matinee, a little double feature party with Jennifer's Body and Ginger Snaps. Tag me, Tag Team Creeps. Let us know that you're having a ball watching these movies because it is it is such a joy for me to have like to talk about these kind of movies, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because like Ginger Snaps is a cult film, obviously, like people love it. But like you would talk to a random person and they'd blink at you like, what are you talking about? Ginger Snaps is a movie every single person needs to watch. So keep spreading the joy. Keep spreading the word on Ginger Snaps. And if you haven't seen Jennifer's Body, that's a good one too to watch. That's I guess everyone's homework.
Yeah. Seriously, must
it's
watch.
It's Halloween. You like, come on. Oz just handed you such a gift.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. And also you can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, you'll find out what the heck I'm working on. But yeah, that's it.
Woo-hoo. Hell yeah. I would also say if you're gonna be doing that double feature, make an angel food cake with drenched in macerated strawberries as your little snack.
Absolutely.
Because that will be on vibe.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. A special thank you to our Patreon supporters, patreon.com/teencreeps. We got a lot of really cool stuff for you. And we're going to give special shout outs to our Patreon producers, Aaron Fernandez,
Adam Howitz,
Amanda Nangle,
Ashley Fritz,
Brian Petty II,
Claire Moore,
Courtney McPhail,
Danielle Amana,
Danny B,
Erin B,
Gabriela Santiago,
Gianna Fernandez,
Gwendolyn Ludovic,
Jeremy Kronk,
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic,
Jessica Smith Harper,
Jessica Yu,
Jonathan Venable,
Saoirse Descaro,
Karen Lewis,
Kat Miller,
Katie Lilly,
Katie Olsner,
Keith Anderson,
Kelly Burns,
Chris Darina,
Landry Desmond,
Larry Nguyen,
Laura Hooper,
Luke Bartek,
Mandalay Wolschlager,
Max B,
Megan Lozier,
Mel Leos,
Melody,
Micah Eunice,
Miguel Camacho,
Miranda Hester,
Molly G,
Molly Marks,
Noah Spargo,
Rachel Bessert,
Randy Klett,
Rebecca Goss,
Robert L,
Rogue Kalihua,
Sarah Wallen,
Sasha Gibson,
Sylvie T,
Tristan Buckner,
Victoria Beck,
Victoria Gray,
and Victoria Valdez. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We appreciate you. All right. What a fun time. What a time to be alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Please get vaccinated and keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com. And subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.